The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 166 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don Delarente, and I'm joined, like always, by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet.
Hey, friend.
Hey, friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
What is your resolution for 2018?
Drink more liquor, starting January 20th.
All right. It's a celebration, y'all.
Yeah, I'm taking a 19-day break from the 2nd to the 20th at 2 p.m. as I think my brother's running reception. Open bar, bottle shall be popped. Yes.
Isn't that the only way the wedding reception is to be had?
Some people play games, and I'm very glad that my brother decided to A, get married, B, in New Orleans, C, with an open bar. Like, what? Yes.
And it could be a weekend of bad decisions. I have to make sure I check on you.
Here's what makes it funny. I get there on Wednesday. They get married on Saturday. I don't leave till Monday. So I'm going to make all sorts of decisions. Most of them food related, because I'm not drinking.
Okay. Well, maybe. Have fun in New Orleans. Be safe.
Thank you.
And we are joined tonight by Deanna. How you doing, Deanna?
I'm doing well. I'm still laughing over Dee Dee's wedding plans. Lots of debauchery to get into over 5 days.
Listen, I'm trying to find me a good Southern man who knows how to treat me and knows how to split these bills, okay?
Or you could just have a lot of fun. Either way, you can't go wrong.
I mean, who says that those are mutually exclusive? I could have a lot of fun and find a man to split these bills.
This is true.
It could work.
On Bourbon Street? I don't know. But okay, girl.
Listen, don't kill my vibe. Don't kill my vibe. Let it happen for me. Think positive thoughts.
Yes, I will. yeah, it's good to be back here. It's been a while since I've been on the podcast. So excited to be back talking wrestling.
We are excited to have you back talking wrestling. Let everybody know where they can follow you on Twitter.
I am DLovely179. And if you go to WrestleCast, WrestleCast follows me. I follow the WrestleCast, all that good stuff.
All right. You can follow the WrestleCast on Twitter at WrestleCast. You can follow me on Twitter at Don Delarente. And you can follow Miss Didi Jonet on Twitter at Didi Jonet. You can also find the podcast at www.cspn.us. You can also find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. So, ladies, we're going to get right into it. This week, we have some news that came out about the mixed match challenge teams. Easy for me to say. So, basically, the mixed tag tournament that's going to be held on Facebook, they started announcing some of the teams this week. We have four teams announced, and the very first team that was announced was Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman. To the dismay of one, Nia Jax. If you follow Nia on social media, she has been very upset as she was outwardly campaigning to be Braun's partner. She had videos where she was trying to build some camaraderie with Braun and all towards them being the ultimate team in this tournament. And Alexa Bliss, her best friend, Bliss blocked her again, just like she did on Raw a couple of weeks ago. DeeDee, what do you feel about this development? What do you feel about this team?
I think that it's funny from a visual standpoint, and it could work, but I feel like, why would you miss the chance to put the two bit? Like, why wouldn't you do it? You should have done it. But I can see why they didn't.
Because it's too obvious, maybe?
I mean, since when are they like, don't go for the obvious thing? Didn't John Cena just win his match the last time he was here? Like, they go for the obvious. Like, let's not act like they're like, oh, that's what you think's going to happen? You're right. Like, you know, that's why we play Who You Got, because who knows what they'll do? And they usually don't shock us.
This is true. Next team that was announced was a Charlotte and Bobby Roode. So, Miss Deanna, give me your take on Charlotte and Bobby Roode teaming up together.
I like it. I like it. They're the glorious and the queen, right? So, right. But I did have one question to backtrack. Is Enzo not in the whole mixed tag thing or no?
Enzo has been
That's right. He's out
because his illness is what they use for the excuse. I don't know if he has, you know, hot water behind this illness.
Because I was really thinking that, you know, what's her name, that Nia was going to pair up with her boo Enzo, but I see she shouldn't have been worrying about that chicken soup. She should have been trying to find a new partner. So, but yeah, but no, I'm here for Charlotte and Bobby Roode. Who knows? They might actually be the ones to actually take it all the way. If you think about it, they're very well matched with skills and whatnot, kind of all around team.
Right. The next team that was announced was the Boss Bay, Sasha Banks and Finn Balor. So I'll get both of you ladies' thoughts on this. So we'll let our guests go first. Miss Deanna, your thoughts on Sasha Banks and Finn?
I mean, they high-flying, they explosive, but then that means that it's dangerous. All it takes is one person to miss something, one wrong move, the team might be out, some, you know. So it could go either way.
All right. Miss DeeDee Jonet, your thoughts on Sasha and Finn?
I want her to leave her husband, get with Finn, and have skinny babies who like to injure themselves in the wrestling ring. I think that would be most good.
Okay. I don't even know how to classify that information.
Because you just broke kayfabe all the way. It just doesn't work.
Everybody knows she's not single. Although, I don't know if they knew she was married. I saw him. He's actually cute. I was shocked. I don't know why he was handsome. I was just like, who's that guy? But yeah, I know. Actually, I think on a non-aesthetic level, I think those styles fit. Really good. Especially now that he's like leather Balor Club Finn Balor, I think that's going to be a real good mix. A Balor and a Boss, what? Yeah,
that's funny. But then if you think about it, put them against like a Braun and Alexa. Yeah, like they don't have nothing. They don't have nothing against Braun. Yeah,
that's problematic. But
right, see, if you go with the whole, if you go with my queen and my glorious dude, I mean, they got something for both teams.
Sure.
We could do a bracket. We really could do a bracket. But anyway.
Next up, the last team that was announced, Lana and Rusev. Thoughts and concerns?
I mean, maybe she's been in training and we just don't know.
Mostly concerns. Yeah. We know that Lana's just going to be on the outside of the ring. She's going to get a hot tag and a hot kick and then tag right back out. Mm-mm. Don't have any faith in that one.
All right. So we will keep everybody updated through the Twitter account, again, at WrestleCast, on the latest teams to be announced. We have four. I think there's going to be 12 teams altogether. So they're kind of coming out in waves. And I guess we'll be covering this in some shape, form, or fashion. I don't know if there'll be a live tweet or something like that. So when it gets nearer, I'll, you know, develop that information once I come up with my game plan for how we're going to watch this, since it's going to be on Facebook. So new ways of content. So it's not going to be on the network, which seems like they're hustling backwards, but oh well. Because I think actually this is going to get people into this, because I think a lot of young girls are going to want to watch this.
On Facebook, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I guess they're just trying to figure out new, I guess maybe the advertisement on Facebook may be better than what they get on their own network. There's got to be some type of something else long-term that's going to come out of this. So we'll see. So our first review will be of Monday Night Raw. I don't know where Monday Night Raw came from this week. The crowd wasn't that good, though, wherever they were at.
Do you have wasn't this somewhere in Florida?
Yeah, it might have been Miami, actually.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Oh, never mind. It's not in the notes.
Yeah, I think it might have been Miami.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it'll probably say it when we get to the drifter part.
Oh, well, let me look for the drifter part. Go ahead.
All right, so we have like a cold open where we have Alexa Bliss. She's complaining in the back to Kurt Angle about having to face Asuka tonight. Angle says, tough luck, and makes the match anyway. So we get the official show open. Kurt Angle comes down to the ring. He puts over his great 2017 and says 2018 will be even better. He hypes the Raw 25th anniversary show and the Royal Rumble. Then he starts talking about the Women's Royal Rumble match. He says that just like the men's, there will be 30 participants over the top rope, and the winner will get a shot at the title at WrestleMania. So let me stop here and get my lady's opinion here. What do y'all think about 30 participants and over the top rope?
As it should be.
Yes, okay. As it should be. But remind me, how many women do we have? What, maybe 20 right now on main roster? If that, 15? Yeah.
Minus the two it's champions. Like 22. Yeah. Minus the two champions, it's 20.
It's 20. Okay. I mean, I like that because it gives us a little bit of X factor that we really don't have with the men, because we kind of sort of know who's all going to be on, who's going to enter the Royal Rumble, right? For the guys. But with the women, it's like, well, we know they'll probably call, even if they don't call up from NXT, they'll pull women from NXT. Like, I could see somebody like, why am I blanking on her name? Who has NXT Women's Champion right now? Ember Moon.
Ember Moon.
I see somebody like her, even though they might not pull her, call her up, she might just be in the Royal Rumble just for the, you know, because she deserves it, you know, to be a part of this moment. So they might pull a few women out of NXT, pull some old timers in. It could be really fun.
I think this is going to be one of the highlight matches of the whole event. I think this is going to be like, you know, a lot of what draws whatever eyes get drawn to the Royal Rumble. I think a lot of it are going to be because of this match.
It's the only reason why I'm keeping my subscription for another month, I'll tell you that.
All right. So Kurt Angle says that he expects the Raw talent to win both matches, and then he gets interrupted by Dee Dee's favorite at the bar, Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
I guess Sheamus got his two front teeth for Christmas because he cut this promo without his mouthpiece in. The bar claimed that they were robbed of their tag team titles, especially when Kurt Angle gifted Jason Jordan a title match. They didn't appreciate Angle celebrating the title change last week either. They demand a rematch tonight, but Angle says they'll get it when he says so. Jason Jordan arrives on the scene. He says he deserved that title shot and proved it when he won the tag team titles. Jordan says he got the shot due to his track record and threatens to send Cesaro back to the dentist. Angle books a match between Jordan and Cesaro. But before the match can start, Seth Rollins arrives and says Jordan needs to learn about teamwork because he came out there alone. Rollins is here to back him up and tells Jordan not to be so self-absorbed. The crowd starts to chant Daddy's Boy at Jason Jordan. Rollins then says he's here to watch Jason Jordan lose. Cesaro attacks Jordan, sending him to the floor, and then we join the match in progress. So Jason Jordan did get a good burn in on Cesaro. He did say he had a refurbished mouth. And that was
he
pretty
good. He did. Jason did that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So, again, Jason Jordan starting off the show, getting a high-profile match. What, I mean, is it working for y'all? Are y'all starting to care about him?
No, not really. But, I mean, it's interesting seeing his little bad guy antics. But am I really rooting for him? Am I rooting that strongly against him? You know.
Okay. Well, you know, everybody has different moments when they catch on to a certain aesthetic. So we'll see. Jason Jordan still got some more work to do, but I see what they're doing, and I'm starting to dig it. So Jason Jordan versus Cesaro. Cesaro puts Jason Jordan in a Boston Crab. Jason Jordan fights and makes the ropes. Rollins takes out Sheamus. Cesaro is distracted, and Jason Jordan hits the pop-up neck breaker for the win. So we'll drink to our distraction finish. Next, we get a promo with Roman Reigns. Roman starts to run down Samoa Joe. He calls him a punk. And he says, tonight's match for the Intercontinental title will be ugly, but Roman says that he will try to remain within the rules. Does Roman not care about his well-being, his health?
See, that's why I remember that the Raw was in Florida, because he was talking real strong right there. And I think that was because, you know, he was home. He can't be getting punked out at home. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. But I would never associate anything with Samoa Joe with being a punk. Mm-mm. Just the bad things will happen to you.
I mean, he used to it by now, so you might as well talk a strong game.
We have Bray Wyatt versus Apollo Crews. The fight spills to the floor, and Crews rolls Wyatt back into the ring, but gets hit with the clothesline. Bray gets distracted by Dana Brooke. Bray scares her, and Dana falls onto the arms of Titus on the outside. Wyatt hits Sister Abigail, and Bray Wyatt gets the win. Matt Hardy cuts a post-match promo on Bray Wyatt, telling him that he's turning the WWE into his Awoken universe. Matt says he will take Sister Abigail's powers and delete Bray Wyatt. Matt starts laughing, and we get a million Matt Hardy faces on the screen.
That was weird.
Yes, it is weird. It's not.
I didn't even see this part. So
it's not as fun as the TNA was. Like I think that's the part that they're missing, is that it had like a little bit of like comedy to it that made it fun.
I mean, anytime they try to force stuff on our throats, it usually doesn't work, right? Like, when people come up with their own stuff organically, that's really what flies. And at TNA, you know, they made their own thing up. It doesn't necessarily transfer over when you bring it to another company or to a different audience. So,
right. We have Alexa Bliss. She's talking to Nia, and she says that she needs Nia in her corner tonight against Asuka. Nia says that she's taking chicken soup to a sick Enzo, who says he can't defend his title tonight. Alexa says, well, it's either him or me. And Nia picks Enzo.
Nia said, my chicken noodle soup is getting cold. And she walked out the door.
I mean, but Alexa should have known better. When do you ever ask your girl to choose between you and her man? You know how that's going to go.
Especially if it's like new. You know, if she's been together 5 years, she might be like, girl, you right. But 2 weeks in? Bye, girl. I got to keep this solid. Valentine's Day is coming up. What is you saying?
Oh. Alexa really overestimated her friendship, for real, for real.
She didn't even think hard about it. She was like, it's getting cold. Like, I gotta go. She ain't even really hesitate. She gave her one beat and was like, chicken's getting cold.
So we have the match between Alexa Bliss and Asuka, non-title. Alexa Bliss sends Asuka to the floor, but Asuka hits two head kicks. And Asuka follows that up with a flying armbar, and Alexa Bliss has no choice but to tap out. I thought Alexa was going to die. She was so scared. She actually did do pretty good, though. I mean, you know, considering Asuka didn't rip her arm off. But, yeah, Asuka is just, you know, like they say, nobody's ready for Asuka. She's just so good. So, so good.
But they did a good job of making it look like Alexa was at least giving her a fight, you know?
Yeah, somewhat. Yes. Yes. In her, like, skittish way that she was going about it.
Well, I mean, heel life.
Right. Samoa Joe was interviewed about tonight's Intercontinental title match. He says that he will beat Roman Reigns tonight because he owns him and has mentally broken him. Joe continues to, you know, he talks about all these, you know, things that he's done this year as far as, like, you know, beating up Dean Ambrose, putting him on the shelf, putting Seth Rollins on the shelf. Just continuing to be, like, evil and mean and very scary. Braun Strowman versus Rhino. Braun runs wild with shoulder blocks and kicks. Braun then goes after Heath Slater. Braun tells him to stand on the floor, shut up, or get in the ring and get these hands. So Heath Slater joins in. He attacks Braun, but Braun has enough of that, and he starts just destroying the both of them. And then he finally gives Rhino the running power slam, and he gets the win. But the crowd, they want more. So Braun fights off Heath Slater, power slams him. He gives Rhino another power slam. He gives Heath Slater another power slam. The crowd finally is into it, but Braun isn't finished with them yet. And he hits them each with one more power slam. So I think everybody was definitely into Braun getting on the mic and telling Heath Slater to either stand on the floor and shut up or get in the ring and get these hands. That was a direct quote. That should be his t-shirt, right?
get these hands? Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm big on Braun Smash. I mean, you can't go wrong with that one.
I mean, but then it's like smash what? Or maybe that's
whoever.
Somebody. I don't know.
See, there are you taking it to the creep cast level.
I'm just saying it could mean different things to different people.
Right. And that's the beauty of the shirt. See?
You're right.
That's all right. Braun can get two shirts. How about that?
There you
exactly.
go.
He gets options. He deserves.
Seth Rollins and Roman are talking backstage. Roman promises that he's cool and that he'll take Joe out because Samoa Joe's a joke. Jason Jordan arrives and says if the bar interferes, that Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan will take them out. Believe that. Roman and Seth can't believe what they just heard. The look on Seth Rollins' face.
I am living for this, though, because the whole night, Seth was just kind of like, who is you again? I mean, yeah, I know you were in that match with me and you got the belt, but you're really not on our level, son. So,
yeah, Jason Jordan is going to have a hard road to hoe to win these people over. But when he does, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So Braun meets up with Kane backstage. Kane doesn't want to fight. Kane says he wants to talk about Brock Lesnar. Kane says that together, they can tame the beast, and he has a plan. Braun says he doesn't give a shit about his plan, and he'll take Brock down on his own.
Boom.
Because that sure sounded like a setup. I was just like, mm-mm.
Next, Kurt Angle's on the phone, and he meets with Finn Balor. Finn Balor says that he's the first Universal Champion, and he was never beat for the title, and he never got his rematch. Just, you know, laying those receipts out there. He says that he wants to be in the Royal Rumble, so he's putting his name in the hat. And tonight, he's got a 6-man tag team match with his tag team partners, the Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson. Can you hear the smile on my face?
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes. Finally. They've been listening to the podcast. You remember we was talking about they could at least put them in something that the fans enjoy, even if they don't want to like put them in the title picture, per se. At least give them something that we would like to see them in. See? Hashtag, they be listening.
Oh, we know they do. Every time they say head on the swivel, I think Dee Dee Jonay.
gotta keep that head moving. Tilt.
So we have our Intercontinental title match between Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. The action spills to the outside.
Hold on one second. So we passed the interview part with Samoa Joe and Renee.
Yeah, uh-huh. Go ahead. What you got?
Her face, though, because, I mean, it was bad enough that he did hurt, you know, Dean Ambrose, but the fact that he called him a stay-at-home husband and he was just smooching off of Renee, her face really was like, I want to fight you.
She was ready to be like, hold up now, but you know, professionalism.
You know what I'm saying? I really wish they had Talking Smack, even though this was on Raw. Small Joe can go over to Talking Smack, too, and he could have talked some more junk in Renee's face. Oh, it could have been. The things that could have been. All right, back to the match.
All right. Samoa Joe's on the attack on the outside, but he gets hit with a Superman punch by Roman. Both men get back into the ring when Roman hits another Superman punch, but Joe kicks out at 2. Roman is set. He charges Joe, but Joe cuts him off and shoves Roman into the ref. Joe then hits the Uranage, and Roman kicks out at 2. Samoa Joe is pissed. Joe locks in the Coquina clutch, but Roman rolls out and hits the spear, and Roman Reigns gets the victory and retains the Intercontinental title. This was a very good match. It was a very long match. It's like 25 minutes.
Yeah, it was. Not quite, but like right underneath, maybe a small pay-per-view, right? Not one of the big pay-per-views, but it definitely was better than what you would normally see on TV, again, because I think they was in Florida, and unlike everybody else, you know.
You know what? They weren't in Florida, because Smacky Downey was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So they were definitely in Florida.
I mean, Vince likes Roman, so he's not going to let him, you know, he's not going to play him in his home, but... Yeah, it was a really good match. And you didn't hear as many. I don't think I heard any boos. I don't think anyone booed Roman. I don't think there were any you can't wrestle chants. I mean, things is looking up for the brother.
It's the power of Jason Jordan and the Shield.
No, I don't think so.
So we have Paul Heyman in the back. He's meeting with Kurt Angle. He says if Kane and Braun gang up on Lesnar, he will be proactive because 2018 will be the year of the beast. Drew Gulak and Daivari De Niro are here with the message from Enzo. They have a note, and Drew Gulak reads Enzo's usual stick as proper as possible.
Drew Gulak just tears this whole thing up. I mean, I love all of it, from the PowerPoints to the Drew Gulak is everything.
The note claims that Enzo has the flu and he can't defend his title tonight. So Cedric Alexander arrives. Cedric says that he wants competition. Drew Gulak agrees to a tag team match, but says Cedric has no friends. Goldust arrives and says he wants to be his friend and be his partner. So Goldust runs down Gulak and Daivari, and then we get our tag team match between Cedric Alexander and Goldust versus Drew Gulak and Arya Daivari.
Now, this is interesting. Didn't we talk about having the cruiserweights and the regular dudes mix it up? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hashtag baby listening. Proceed.
Goldust heads up top and hits a high cross body to Gulak and Daivari. Cedric Alexander tags in and clotheslines both Gulak and Daivari. Daivari gets taken out by Goldust, and Cedric Alexander hits the lumbar check on Drew Gulak, and Cedric Alexander and Goldust are victorious. Cedric Alexander is on his way to winning the title. I hope.
Yeah, unfortunately, still not invested in the cruiserweights. Like Enzo, like Drew Gulak, but...
It's Dee Dee's favorite part of the show. It's time to walk with Elias. Yay! Elias is here, and he says that Raw is his show, and he says that the WWE Universe is his universe. Elias says that he will win the Rumble, Main Event Mania, and give a grand performance. He then brings in Axel and Bo Dallas, and they have a cowbell and sleigh bells. They say that Miz will return next week, and they dedicate this song to him. And then, of course, Finn and the Good Brothers interrupt. How rude. Then Balor and the Good Brothers, Balor Club, versus Elias, Axel, and Bo Dallas. Gallows gets tagged in, and he runs wild, taking out all the heels and hitting a corner splash and big boots. He then hits a running splash and gets a two as Elias makes the save. Carl Anderson takes Elias out. The Good Brothers hit the magic killer on Bo Dallas. Finn Balor hits the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp. And the Good Brothers Club, or the Good Balor Club, or the Balor Club get the win. However you want to. Can't say the Bullet Club because WWE. But
trademark. Anyway, but that's all right because my boy The Miz is going to be back next week and everything is going to change. What do you think is going to happen with The Miz? Do you think he's going to go straight for Roman, or is he going to get mixed up into something else?
Oh, he's going for his title back.
That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Paul Heyman's here. He introduces himself and says that WWE continues to stack the deck against Brock Lesnar, making him defend his title versus multiple challengers instead of just one man. Once again, he has multiple opponents at the Royal Rumble. Braun's watching on in the back. Heyman says that he doesn't like that Brock can lose without being beaten. Heyman says Brock will successfully defend the title because Brock defends 100% of the time. He says Brock can beat Braun, Kane, and everyone in the Rumble as well because Brock fears no challengers, or monsters. They go to leave, but Kane arrives. Kane chokeslams Brock, but Brock sits up and laughs just like The Undertaker. Brock clotheslines Kane to the floor, and the locker room empties to try to separate them before they brawl. Kane is taken to the back, and Brock Lesnar stands tall. Thoughts? Questions? Concerns?
Yeah, I guess I'm just mad because they're trying to hype it up like, oh, maybe Brock really will lose the belt because there's two other guys in the match, but we know that's not going to happen.
It was cool to see Brock laugh at him, though, sit up like The Undertaker. That was good.
And he sat up quickly. He sat up quickly, which was good. Mm-hmm. When it was Kane's turn the other week, he was a little slow with that.
So a good, pretty good episode of Raw. Like I said, that Roman Reigns match was really awesome. The Jason Jordan stuff is really over with me. The backstage stuff, especially his matches are pretty good too. And, you know, Finn Balor and the Good Brothers. I mean, what more could you want? Good way to start off a new year.
I don't know. Well, we can't mix them into tech. Well, hey, if two guys can fight for one belt, maybe you can have three guys. I mean, the New Day held a tag team and it was three guys. So maybe they'll get in a tag team mix.
Yeah, we'll see what they have planned. We'll see what they have planned. So at this point in time, we'll turn it over to Ms. Didi Jonet for our SmackDown Matters report.
I mean, SmackDown does matter a little bit or a lot of bit, you know. Yeah, so Smacky Downey was in Orlando. So I'm going to assume that your show was either in Orlando or some neighboring city.
I'm pretty sure, 100% sure it was Miami.
Sure, let's go with that. Oh, okay, so they plugged the shows for the matches for tonight. We'll get to it later. AJ comes out. He wishes everyone a happy new year and welcomes them to my house. Although he might not have called it my house. He did say my house. So the crowd chants for him. He says that the wrestlers on both brands have New Year's resolutions of winning the Rumble. His resolution is to keep the title right through WrestleMania. His second resolution is to beat Sammy tonight. He wants to know if Daniel would allow Kevin to be at ringside. So then Daniel Bryan comes out. Before he can say anything, Shane comes out. Shane says, Shane apologizes to AJ for his interference. And then he gives him a fist bump. He seems fine with the apology. He acknowledges his issues with Kevin and Sammy, but he also accuses Daniel of having a kinship with them. He said, is his yes movement turning into a yep movement? That led to a mixture of no chance, yes chance, and yep chance. Daniel's about to answer, but Shane kept going. He figured that Daniel would allow Kevin at ringside, so Shane is like, I'm going to be there too. Daniel said he had other thoughts, but he is going to allow Kevin to be there if Shane's there. So then the people are sad. And then he says, well, okay, I'll be at ringside too. And he gives, and that gives that, what are my words? It's like I'm drunk. That the crowd leaves a yes chant at the news. So WWE congratulates themselves on our show being the number one show on social media last week, because SmackDown matters. #. So first match, Usos versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. We're not going to talk about how Shelton Benjamin slipped on the top rope and almost lost his ass.
Yeah, we are, because I watched this like without the benefit of watching it with y'all on the Raw SmackDown Matters live tweet, like live. I had to do the late night edition. Uh-huh. Oh my goodness, I almost choked on my beer when he almost fell out the ring.
I was distracted by the Usos coming out without shirts on, Creekcast.
And then they move off slow. It's like they want you to look at them. And look, I did. There's a pre match promo about the Usos becoming the 3-time tag team of the year, and referring to Jimmy as the Iron Man of WWE. I don't know anything about that. My words. I'm having like a fugue. Okay, so Byron says the Usos made a resolution to get in better shape. Jimmy lost a shit ton of weight, because that actually happened. Because remember when Jimmy was Fat Uso? You do. That's why we stopped playing Name That Uso, because it was like, Jimmy's the fat one. You know. So Byron says that he lost about 40 pounds. Shelton and his team get a near fall right away after a top rope suplex from Shelton and a moonsault by Chad, but the pin was broken up. The Usos make a comeback, hitting dives. Benjamin cuts them off, tosses one Uso into a barricade, knees the other one in the head. Benjamin and Gable hit a powerbomb clothesline combo for the quick win. They are announced the new champs. However, you can see the Usos complaining to the referee, and then another referee comes down to the ramp. They say that the one who got pinned was not the legal Uso, so technically, they couldn't have gotten the correct pin. The referees confirm, agree that that's correct. They show us the video confirming that that is correct. They restart the match. So, after a break, the Usos nail super kicks to Shelton and finish him off with a splash for the win. Ha ha. So Shelty and Chad were champs for like 7 seconds. How do we feel?
This match was booked really weird. It was booked with like especially the part where they had the part where they went to commercial and they didn't have any commentary. Mm-hmm. The Usos were like the good guys. They were like the ones struggling to make the tag to get the crowd excited. And Shelton Benjamin and Gable were like the bad guys, holding them back and doing all that stuff. It was like they were kind of like flipped. It's like they flipped them. Like they did a double turn almost.
Yeah. Don, do you have your notes?
I do have my notes.
Okay. I need to take a quick break to switch. Okay. No, just do things, but I'll be okay. Right. So just
All right. So okay, we have Kevin and Sammy as they walk and they meet up with Renee. They talk about tonight's main event, and Kevin says that there are differences tonight, but what won't be different is Sammy will beat AJ Styles tonight, and Kevin and Sammy are gloriously annoying.
Wait, didn't they come up with a new name? What was it? The Seven Show or something like that?
The Sammy and Kevin Show?
Sammy and Kevin, but he slurred it together like it was one whole new word, like seven or something.
I don't know. It's that French-Canadian thing they have going on.
The problem is sometimes I watch these later and sometimes they cut out different pieces. Because right. I know, yeah, so it's like what you see live isn't exactly everything. But yeah, he was making up a whole new word for their show. So it's like, okay.
So we have the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Fashion Police. The Bludgeon Brothers attack right away, kicking the shit out of the Fashion Police. The Ascension arrive, and the bell hasn't even sounded yet, but the Ascension get their asses kicked as well, as the Bludgeon Brothers leave them laid out.
I don't understand why they're doing this. I really don't.
The Fashion Police have worked too hard and done too much good work to just be treated like some jobbers.
You know, I mean, if you don't want them in the ring, then fine. Just give them a TV show, you know, let them keep doing all that creative stuff, but... And there's got to be another way to show how tough and powerful the Bludgeon Brothers are than just having them beat folk up randomly for no reason.
Right. Ms. Didi, you ready for the tag back in?
Yeah, where are we?
Big E and Kofi.
Big E
in the back.
Are in the back. They say they have a New Year's gift for Zavy. These are pancakes in the shape of 2018 with a candle. For him to make a wish as he's leaning over. He thanks them and says that when he becomes U.S. champ, they all become U.S. champ. As he leans over to blow out his candle, he sees in his peripherals because he keeps his head on a swivel. Aiden English and Rusev. Aiden says he wants every day to be Rusev Day and that would become a reality when he wins the U.S. title. Rusev mocks the New Day for acting like children and he blows out with his candle. So then,
the look on Woods's face, though, he whispered, "He stole my wish." I was just rolling.
Nobody blows on Xavier Woods' candle whose name isn't Paige.
See, you had to go there. You had to go there, didn't you?
I mean, spark the lab, but okay. So there's a pre-state promo from Mojo where he says he's going to send Zack Ryder back to the past where he belongs. So then is the Xavier versus Aiden match. Big E, Kofi, and Rusev are all down. Aiden comes out first. He's going to sing his song before the match, but Rusev says, "No, let me." The words are, "Mark your calendars. Save your dates. This is your new champion of the United States. He's so tall, he'll make Woods pay. For Aiden English brings the victory to the Rusev Day." And Aiden looks on like a proud mom at graduation. It is just the sweetest thing.
The Bulgarian walrus of love, Rusev.
Okay, because he was so off key, but everyone loved it. It was beautiful.
Aiden hugged Rusev. The crowd chanted, "We want pancakes." However, Xavier wins with a springboard elbow drop, because that's what my notes did. They cut to the chase. So next up will be Xavier versus Jinder. They show Jinder in the back watching the match with the Singh brothers. Corey's laughing because in the replay they see Kingston chucking a piece of pancake into Byron's face. Because everybody hates Byron. And then Xavier, what does Xavier do? Hold the pancake on him, or was that last week? All the pancakes are running together. I don't know.
Now, they were eating pancakes around the championship.
Ah, there we go. I knew pancakes had something to do with it. So, Daisy Fuentes is backstage interviewing Natty Bo, Carmella, Lana, and Tamina. She says, before there was ever a riot squad, there was a welcoming committee. They run down the riot squad, and Carmella says that their party is over, blah, 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 blah. Carmelo's at ringside. It doesn't matter. He doesn't support his children, and he's a statutory rapist. But that's cool, because Carmelo or something. Next is a graphic for the women's Royal. There are a lot of R's in this review. Royal Rumble, and the participants shown are as follows so far: Ruby, Carmella, Naomi, Asuka, Natty Bo, Sasha, Bayley, Paige, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Lana, and Tamina. Riot Squad comes out. They have a match versus Natty Bo, Carmella, and Tamina. Sarah Logan got the pinfall on Tamina after hitting a Hail Mary, which is a knee drop to the back of the head. That is after a distraction from the blonde one, I think, or it might have been Ruby, I don't know, pushing Tamina or hitting Tamina. They did something on the top rope. And that is what allowed Sarah to hit said Hail Mary. Afterwards, Ruby tells the Orlando crowd that magic isn't real. Get it? Because Disney. Then she says they pretend to be happy, but they're all miserable, which is probably true. She calls the Riot Squad a dose of reality and said their destruction was real. She announces that Liv and Sarah are both entering the Royal Rumble, and that's fine. But then Charlotte comes out. She wants to give them a dose of reality and says that actions is, and you know what the consequence is? Naomi! She even gives a little dance. She even gives you a baby slide. It's just so nice. But wait, Becky returns. And listen, I don't even like Becky yet. But the way of the order of it all, I think I was just in a good mood. You know, it's been a new year, new me. Like, I was like, look at Becky.
Even and seeing then, Charlotte try to dance a little, though, that was
yes.
funny.
And then I looked at them and I was like, I'll be damned. They look like the Powerpuff Girls. I was like, oh, I like this. So, almost immediately, they run down and attack the Riot Squad. Charlotte takes out Logan with a big boot. Naomi takes out Morgan with a disaster kick. And then Bitchy. God, Becky gives exploders to both Ruby and Morgan. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sorry.
Hold on. We got Trinity from Orlando again this week. She was throwing them hands.
Oh, yeah.
And And their official name for their trio is Royal, like, you know, royalty, Glow Fire.
Royal Glow Fire?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a team type something.
They'll only be a team for a couple weeks, so it doesn't really matter. So,
I mean, that's all you need. Just enough to get you through. They announced that y'all's favorite, John Cena, isn't entering in the Royal Rumble, because of course he is, because Ferdinand did shit in the movies, so gotta go.
But he still got paid, though, so it don't matter.
I mean, but did he really? How much? Anyway, Baron shows up on screen. He says he can't wait to win the Rumble and main event WrestleMania. The notes say that seems unlikely. Shady.
And they came in real tight on him, too. It's like as if they were trying to avoid a particular area of his head. But I digress.
I wonder what. Maybe his ears. Anyway, your final match of the night was Sammy versus AJ. AJ is in control. Sammy counters a Styles Clash into a Blue Thunderbomb. And I don't know why, but the announcers are so shocked that there's only a two count. And I was like, I was on Twitter and I was like, let me tell you all a secret. And I'll tell you, listeners of the WrestleCast, the secret that I also know. Everybody kicks out of a goddamn Blue Thunderbomb. Literally everybody. So, it's a hell of a kick into a calf crusher. Zayn manages to get to the ropes. They trade forearms, and then AJ nails the Pele kick. After Sammy ducks the phenomenal forearm, AJ pushes Zayn toward the referee, who falls outside of the ring. AJ is applying the roll-up inside the ring. Owens is like, are you okay? But are you okay? And the referee's like, I'm great. Get away from me. And but by that point, by the time he gets to two, Sammy kicks out. Really, he was pinned for like 8 seconds. But, you know, it only counts if it counts. So Shane's on the outside, pissed off, big mad, shoves Owens to the ground. He demands that the referee toss Kevin from ringside. So he does. Then Daniel gets on the mic and tells Shane that if Owens gotta go, yo ass gotta go. And Shane looks at him like, oh, really? He looked at him like, excuse me, bitch. But he didn't say that. But I know that's what he meant.
But Daniel had a point.
Listen, I'm not here to say Daniel's wrong. I'm just saying Shane was very like, how dare you? It was very like Scar Mufasa moment. So then Kevin jumps on the apron. As he leaves, AJ knocks him down. This distraction, boom, allows Sammy to hit a hell of a kick for the win. And, you know, AJ grabs the mic, looks at Daniel, and tells them to stop bickering like some goddamn children. He says, at this point, I don't know whose side Daniel is on, but it really don't matter. He's like, why don't we just do, why don't we just make everybody happy in a handicap match? Therefore, Sammy and Kevin can't fight them, and it's not this fake-ass bullshit and all these distractions. And Daniel's like, that's a great idea. And then he announces that AJ will defend his WWE title in a handicap match against Kevin and Sammy at the Royal Rumble. And nobody quite knows what to do until Daniel decides to lead a yes chant from the announce table. And that is how your SmackDown ends for the week. How do you feel about it? How do y'all feel about the handicap match?
So much to consider. Well, because it's like, is this going to be the thing that breaks the friendship apart? Like, I guess the question is it only one person going to hold the belt, or are they going to try to share the belt?
And does Freebird rules count on singles titles too? Maybe Vail win the belt.
Yeah, it's going to make for a very interesting match, that's for sure, to see how it's booked, because you expect Sammy and Kevin to somehow come out with a win, but you never know. AJ Styles can maybe get some help in the ninth inning to even up the odds. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out. But I thought the SmackDown episode was really fun. The tag team match was really good. The dusty finish and then the angle of them, you know, keeping the belts, but still kind of like maybe Shelton and Benjamin might be turning heel because they keep coming up short being like,
well, the good guys. I think Shelton and Benjamin are really heels though. Really, really. If you look at it, if you look at that theme music, if you look at the kind of way they come out, like they are heels. Mm-hmm. They're just not effective heels.
I think Shelton is a heel, like in life.
What about Shelton makes you think his everyday persona is?
I remember he used to have like platinum hair. Like, if that's not a sign of a heel, I don't know what is. Like, you're not Dusty Rhodes. You can't have platinum hair, black man. Like, that is specifically Dusty. When's the last time you seen a blackity black man with platinum hair? The dude from Cisco. Demolition Man, Wesley Snipes and Demolition Man. Like, he's a bad guy, a heel.
Cisco, that Fong song, come on.
But he's from Baltimore, that don't count. And he was thinking when he did his, you know.
What's up, Maurice?
That fool. Did you see the way he eats Kit Kats?
Maurice?
Yes, him and Sam. Demonic, the both of them.
Are they terrorists? Do they eat one at a time or they bite
both? No, they don't. They bite from each end. It's disgusting. Like, they'll keep the four in a row and then just bite it like it's a sandwich. It's nasty.
Oh, yeah. No. You're supposed to break them and eat each one individually.
No, they're not right. They need to get right with the Lord.
They really do. They really do. You guys could help keep the podcast free each and every week here on CSPN by supporting our sponsors. Please go support Link. Get you some wine. Didi.
Yes.
Do you have the copy for me? I'm going to do this, but I need you to pull up the /.com that they need to go to.
But I believe it's espn.us/wink, WINC.
There we go. So go to www.cspn.us/wink, WINC, and go check out their grand selection of wines so you can be a part of their wine club, but they will send you various bottles of wine of your choosing each and every month. Pair that with our new podcast, Bad and Boozy, and you'll be in there. You'll know which wines to drink, which wines go with what food, and Wink will make sure that you have a great selection each and every month. And also, you get a free bottle when you first sign up. So please check out Wink. All you wine lovers out there, check out the Bad and Boozy podcast as well, and keep the podcast on CSPN.us free each and every week. So as we record this on January 4th, there was a little event in Tokyo, Japan called Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Don't know if you heard of it.
Yeah. One of the co-main events involved the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, none other than Chris Jericho himself. Like we said a couple of weeks ago, they had a great angle where Chris Jericho showed up in Japan, attacked Kenny Omega, left him bloodied, beaten down in the ring. The next day, Kenny Omega got some get back at the press conference. He attacked Jericho, but Kenny may have got left worse for wear. Jericho ended up throwing a table on him, knocked him off the stage. But, you know, Kenny was satisfied that, you know, Jericho knew that he wasn't playing. So based on that, they made the match at no disqualification. And for the largest crowd in 15 years for a Wrestle Kingdom match. Wow. And they had almost 35,000 people in the Tokyo Dome, beating last year's attendance of almost 25,000.
Because Jericho.
Yes. Drink it in, man. And this match lived up to all the hype. It probably exceeded a lot of people's expectations. A lot of people had a lot of doubts. They didn't know if Jericho would be able to hang with the style, be able to keep up with the pace that Kenny Omega usually wrestles in his matches. But yeah, Jericho was there step for step. There was lots of physicality. There was no disqualification, so there was lots of, you know, big spots. Chris Jericho was healing it up to the ninth degree. Didi, there's this famous referee who referees all the like big time matches. His name is Red Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wears red shoes, of course. And there's this one spot where they're outside of the ring and, you know, he's doing some dastardly things to Kenny and the referee's trying to, you know, get, you know, regain order. And he literally like pushes Red Shoes down.
Mm.
And like, you know, so then he walks over to Red Shoes' son, who's like a young boy, who's like a young wrestler, who's at ringside. And, you know, he kind of like steps up to Chris Jericho. And then Chris Jericho like abused him too. Like he beat up a whole family.
Good.
Yeah. So this is a very, very high level match. I was, you know, to just everybody check it out. It'll probably be surfacing around on the internet. I actually found a link. But I'll let it marinate a couple of days before I actually put it out there. So if New Japan World decides to release it for free, we won't get in trouble. But yeah, so, you know, check out the Wrestle Kingdom event. Very good event from top to bottom. The two main events definitely delivered. The championship match between Okada and Naito was fantastic. A lot of people probably will say that they thought the booking of that championship match was a little iffy, but, you know, that's to, you know, each their own. So we will be having a full rundown of each and every match on the card, breaking down each title decision on Cast of Strong Style. So please check us out. Me and Moto will be breaking down everything from Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash, which is basically New Japan's Raw after WrestleMania. So anything can happen. This is where AJ Styles got kicked out of the Bullet Club a couple of years ago. The Killer Elite Squad came back and Suzuki Gun came back to New Japan from NOAH last year. So there's always some type of big happening that happens at this New Year's Dash episode. So can't wait to see what happens. But yeah, definitely check out the Wrestle Kingdom 12. Get on board with the New Japan. They're coming back to the United States in March. So there'll be some more exposure. And like I said, Chris Jericho definitely put a lot of butts in seats, got a lot of people to subscribe to the New Japan app, and hopefully a lot of people like the product. And big shout out to all the people who were up with Moto at 2 a.m. using the Cast of Strong Style hashtag, live tweeting the event. So at this point, we'll turn it over to our guest, Miss Deanna, for her shout outs.
Thank you. So first, thank y'all for having me back. It's been fun. Shout outs. I'm going to shout out the Bomb Cyclone for keeping me indoors for the past few days and will keep me indoors at least another day or so until the snow thaws out. We got a whopping 3 or 4 inches where I am. Exciting. Let's see. Other shout outs. Shout out to 2018. Hope it's better than 2017. Shout out to the semester that starts. So I'm going to be back to work on Monday. New semester, new students, all that good stuff. Thank you guys and all the WrestleCast fans for live tweeting every Monday and Tuesday. And that's it for me.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Miss Didi Jonet, your thank yous and shout outs.
Shout out to Deanna because it's such a good name. Oh, my God. Shout out to Sam, even though his quarterback was showing his ass today. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to the chairman. Shout out to Mel because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to, I don't know, eye health. Get your eyes checked. I don't know. Yeah. Shout out to you, Don. Best producer in the business. And shout out to sobriety until January 20th. Yes, yes.
Right. I got one more shout out. I forgot.
Okay.
Shout out to Ratchet Ramblings because they keep me in stitches every week recounting all of the Ratchet reality TV shows. So, yeah.
How was the Mona Knight Raw this week, Didi and Deanna?
It was fabulous because there was, well, Love & Hip Hop has been so-so, Love & Hip Hop New York, but Love & Hip Hop Miami debuted. Oh, yes. There's going to be so much drama and so much theater.
As Jeremy said. We fighting. You mad because you want to be family, but even though he family, but, you know, she don't treat him real nice. So who cares that you family? It's interesting.
Yeah. Mona always be keeping the storylines fresh over there. So,
okay.
Shout out to Mona. Shout out to Jeremy. Shout out to Candace over there at Ratchet Ramblings. Check them out right here on CSBN.us. I'd like to give a shout out to both the DDs, Deanna and Didi Jonet, for joining me tonight. Give a shout out to Sam. Give a shout out to Greg. Give a shout out to the chairman. Give a shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets a shout out. Give a shout out to Baker Bone and Rome for entertaining me and my parents this weekend while we were riding around town and listening to their podcast, having a good time. Shout out to All the Glow. Shout out to everybody who joins us in the live tweets each and every week. Again, shout out to people who listened and joined in to the live tweet for New Japan and Cast of Strong Style. And be on the lookout soon for the voting for the El Dandy Awards. I have a few more pages of notes to get through, and then I will be putting all of this stuff up so everybody can vote for 2017 End of the Year Awards, and we'll be having a special standalone El Dandy episode. So be on the lookout for that. In February, probably, so once we get all the votes tallied and everything. So for my guest, Deanna, and my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet, I'm Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 166 of the WrestleCast. Please listen to the parting promo.
In 3 weeks, Raw will celebrate its 25th anniversary. And right after that is the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Free agent and 16-time World Heavyweight Champion John Cena has just declared his entry into the Royal Rumble match, the Men's Royal Rumble match. And notice I said Men's Royal Rumble match because there will be a Women's Royal Rumble match as well. And I guarantee a lot of you are wondering what the rules are going to be for that match. Well, I talked to Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, and we decided what's good for the men is good for the women, so the same rules apply. Which means the women are going to have 30 entrants that come into that ring. Right here. Each superstar that gets thrown over the top and both feet touch the floor, they will be eliminated. And the winners of the Royal Rumble matches will get a championship opportunity at WrestleMania. Now, I expect Raw to win both the men's and women's Royal Rumble matches and main event WrestleMania, but that's just me. But as far as tonight, we have a great show for you.
Here are the former tag champs who lost the titles last week. Cesaro on your left, Sheamus on the right, the bar.
Your son did not deserve an opportunity at the Tag Team Championships. And you want to talk about tonight? We want our rematch tonight.
Listen, guys, you'll get your rematch when I say so.
Oh, when you say
why don't
so?
You say it right now?
Oh, it's convenient for you, isn't it? Whatever you want.
Last
whatever.
Year.
You may just rush on Christmas.
Oh, there's one half of the tag champs. The aforementioned Jason Jordan.
Now, my dad doesn't understand the first thing about favoritism. My opportunity last week was based off my track record, not my DNA.
Track record? Or like daddy's boy, huh?
Look, Seth and I, we earned these tag team titles. And Cesaro, if you keep running that refurbished mouth of yours, you're gonna earn yourself another trip to the dentist.
Oh, really? Why don't you make that happen?
Guys, whoa, whoa, whoa! Guys! As general manager, I always say this. We settle our differences in the ring. I want you two to settle our differences right now!
Like the sound of that. General Manager Kurt Angle going to pit Cesaro and Jason Jordan one-on-one here tonight to kick off the new year on Monday Night Raw.
I like it. Burn it
down! And here comes Jordan's tag team partner.
You came out here puffing your chest. You didn't even realize you're outnumbered 2-1. That's exactly what the bar wanted. All right, and what happens when they jump you, okay? What does that do for you? What does that do for us as a team, okay? You don't need to like your partner, but you at least gotta worry about their health and safety. You need to be a professional. What you do affects me and vice versa. So I'm here to tell you right now, you need to stop being so self-absorbed. You came out here to brag in front of your dad, and that forced me to come out here to protect my half of the Raw Tag Team title. So you know what? I'll be in your corner. Look, I'll be in your corner tonight, but the way I see it, I'm only out here to watch you lose.